Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Because of some family dynamics and problems that we had at home, I fell in with the wrong crowd in high school, started doing drugs, and went to college, and got arrested for selling drugs. And that was a wake-up call for me. I had been with a cousin of mine in Florida for a summer. One of his sisters, actually, had shared the gospel with me. And I basically threw it back in her face. My objection wasn't to the words that she was saying, but to the life that she was leading. She said, I was very convicted, and I went home and changed my life. And I was shocked that something that I had said as definitely a non-Christian acting cousin had said to her made an impact. And once I accepted what she is saying and knew that it made a difference in her life, then I realized that it could make a difference in my life. And that was probably 45 years ago now. So over those 45 years, I went from being estranged to the gospel to living it out. And now that my heart has been changed, I can see the difference that it makes whenever anyone is willing to submit to the words that Jesus said.
Would you open your Bibles to John chapter 9 as we continue in this series, Turn Again? And we're going to step into another larger story, the story of a man born blind who was healed by Jesus. And I'm reading the end of that story. So we're picking up at verse 24 to 38 today. And as we open the scriptures, let's open our hearts in prayer. Father, in your mercy, send your Holy Spirit and speak your word to us. As we read your word, speak your word so that we can hear your word and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. John chapter 9 at verse 24. Bit of context. The Pharisees are questioning this man who's been healed. A second time they, that's the Pharisees, summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Sometimes God lets us see things that we haven't seen before. Sometimes we get to see new things. For example, my boys were taken on a senior trip by their grandparents to Hawaii. They got to see waterfalls and sunsets and black sand beaches and whales. Whales? Where's Jim? Whales? And things they'd never seen before. I got to see what it's like when you're selected for jury duty in El Paso County. Life is fair, right? Is life fair? Is that? Yeah. Mm. Turn again. It's about conversion. This is about meeting Jesus. This is about new life. It's about repentance and faith. It's about being born again from above. Turn again. One of the most used metaphors in conversion is the metaphor of moving from being blind to having sight. I was so in the dark, and now I have the light, and I can see. Once I see what Jesus shows me, I can see. It feels like I used to be blind. By comparison, to meet Jesus, to believe in him, is to have your eyes opened. Your eyes opened. The ancients used to talk about illumination, photismos in the Greek. You hear photo in there, light, light. In fact, for hundreds of years, that's what the church called the sacrament of baptism. They called it photismos, illumination. Not because the water made you see or the prayers made you see, but because baptism is about coming to Christ. It's about entering into the covenant people of God. It's about a new life with Jesus. It's about belonging to him. And when you belong to Jesus, when you belong to him above all other belongings, when you are his, he opens your eyes. You're illumined. You can see differently, so differently that it's as if you didn't see at all until then. At the beginning of this story, if you read up the page, you'd see this is where Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 9, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This blind man is about to see the light. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. Eyes opened. When you come to Christ, you can finally see. We're again dipping into a larger story, as I said, the story of the blind man, a man born blind who met Jesus. And everyone in that time believed, wrongly, that the reason a child might be born blind was because of the sins of the parents. Or even less likely, because of the sins of the unborn child. I mean, that's pretty hard to... No. Sometimes we don't understand the pain that we bear in our stories, but there was no moral error here. Jesus healed him. And here's how he did it. He took dirt, scooped up dirt. He spit on it. I won't demonstrate. He rubs it together and makes mud. He wipes that mud on this man's eyes. And then he tells the man, now go and wash in the pool called Siloam. The man is blind, you know? He just, where now? Where am I going? So here's this man stumbling his way to the pool called Siloam, with spit mud on his face, you know? But what does he do? He does it. Okay, Lord. There's a humble obedience here. Not unlike Naaman that Pastor Ellen preached about a few weeks ago. There's a humble obedience here. Really? That's what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to wander through the streets of Jerusalem with spit mud on my face until I wash it off? Okay, Lord. I'm yours. I'm in your hands. He trusts, and he goes, and he does it. He walks by faith, not by sight. And he finds a pool, and he washes himself off, and he sees. He goes, and he washes, and he sees. And it was the Sabbath day. To the Pharisees, that's a sacrilege. Making mud is work. Washing yourself is work. Healing is work. You don't work on the Sabbath day. It's almost as if Jesus wanted to poke at their legalism. He could have healed the man with a simple word. And so the Pharisees gather him up. Give glory to God by telling the truth, the Pharisees said. We know this man is a sinner. And the man born blind says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And now this man engages in what we call, in the Christian world, what we call apologetics. Apologetics, giving an answer in return. That's all that means. He gives an answer to the nonsense that he's hearing. They say Jesus is a sinner because he broke their Sabbath rules. But the man says, well, you know what? God doesn't listen to sinners. We know that. We know that from Psalm 66. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. We know that from Isaiah 59. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So the man says, so listen, God. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. But God sure listened to this guy. Because I was blind. Listen, it is more and more the responsibility of Christians in our times to make a reasonable answer to the nonsense that we're being presented. Not in a nasty way, not in a combative way, but as Peter says in his letter to the church, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer, to answer in return to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this, underline this part. Christians, we forget to underline this part. Do this with, read it with me, gentleness and respect. We don't have to go fight, win every argument, every battle, but it is increasingly our responsibility not to allow nonsense, to give an answer. Nonsense hurts people. We have to stand up for the truth with gentleness and respect. Still, do you know what? His greatest answer, he's already given. Verse 25. Let's read this together. This is our key verse for the week. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Your testimony of Jesus in your life is always your strongest witness. Even so, what do? They reject him. Verse 34 says they threw him out. Now, we could argue for stronger language there. What they did was they excommunicated him. They said, you're no longer part of the fellowship. No worship, no fellowship, no business dealings. You are out. They excommunicated him. You could imagine him saying, great. Right? I finally get my sight, and I'm excommunicated. I'm kicked out. I'm unemployed and exiled. When Jesus heard that they did that, do you know what he did? He went to go find him. Jesus sought him out. Do you know that's a character of Jesus? Do you know that he seeks and saves the lost? Do you know that he goes after the one sheep and leaves the 99? Do you know that's the character of Jesus? Some people say, I think Jesus is kind of like tracking me. I think Jesus is on my tail. I can't believe these coincidences and these things that are poking through. I think Jesus is pursuing. He's out to get me, really. I think Jesus is pursuing. Could that make sense? God pursuing me? Yes. Yes. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, Jesus went to seek him. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Remember now, when last these two men met, one of them was blind. The man couldn't see. He didn't know what Jesus looks like. He doesn't know what he looks like at all. And here Jesus approaches him and asks, do you believe in the Son of Man? Well, who is he, sir? Verse 36. The man asked, tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. He only knew him by voice, you see. He'd never seen Jesus' face, but he knew the voice. He knew the voice speaking to him. Jesus speaks to the man, and the man sees his face. Only believe, and you will see. What does the man say? Verse 38, then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. There's no one like you, Jesus. I believe. Conversion is putting your faith in Christ when you hear his voice. Jesus goes on explaining, in effect, do you know what's even better than physical sight? What's even better than physical sight is spiritual sight, seeing the world like I see the world, seeing the world through my eyes, and they don't get it. He goes through this thing with the Pharisees. They're not understanding it. They don't get it, but you can get it. You can have it. Only believe, only believe, only believe. I once was blind, but now I see. Conversion opens the eyes. You see the world differently. When your eyes are opened by Christ, when you believe in him, belong to him, when you have faith in him, your eyes are open. You see the whole world. You see creation differently. The sky is bluer. The grass is greener. The air is sweeter. You know why? Why is that? Because you know who made it. You know who put it together. And so you're seeing things in a totally different way. Lord, look at that sky. It's beautiful. Oh, Lord. And you know he made it out of love for you. Oh, Lord. Look at those mountains with the snow, with the frost on the trees. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, look at that sunset. Lord, you see creation in a totally different way. Do you see that? Because you know who made it. And he made it for you. You see the world differently. You see others differently. John Newton was the famous author of the hymn that if you've been in a church, even if you've only been in church for a memorial service, you probably know this hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind. But John Newton wasn't blind. He was never blind. Liar. Just one more Christian hypocrite, I guess. No, he wasn't blind. He wasn't physically blind. Do you know what he was? He was a slave trader. Most of his life, he dealt in kidnapping and capturing people and selling them off. He ran ships, slave trading ships. He was blind. He was blind to the seal of the Creator on every human being. He was blind to the imago Dei in the face of those that he was kidnapping and trading in. And then he gave his life to Jesus, and his eyes were opened. And suddenly, it was different. Suddenly, he looked upon the African man, and he said, "Hold, wait, I was about to treat you like a commodity. I was about to treat you like cattle. But now I see the image of God in you. I see God in your face. I see God in your image. I see God before me." Something to revere, something to reverence, something to honor, something to respect. He became an abolitionist. Wasn't a perfect man from back to front. But God opened his eyes. You see the world differently. You see others differently. And you see yourself differently. I once was blind. But now by God's grace, but now I see. Larry Sanger is the founder of a website called Wikipedia. Heard of it? He's doing all right. We don't have to get any groceries together for Larry Sanger today. But you know what? He spent most of his life arguing against faith, arguing against religion. He was a principled atheist, a skeptic. He was a philosopher. He would argue very forcefully that faith and science, they don't mix. In short, if you want to be a grown-up, give up on that religious stuff. He argued that for all of his life. And then on February 5th, just a few weeks ago, he published an online essay. The first line of it reads, "It is finally time for me to confess and explain fully and publicly that I am a Christian." Now, this is very scientific and very long. Are you ready? No? Preach it. Somebody's ready. Okay, thank you. Dan's ready. Just watch Dan. He'll keep you awake. Okay, this is very scientific. It's very long. Here's how he explained his conversion. "From the structure of galaxies to the orbits of the planets, from the movement of waves to the fates of mountains, from the origin of life to the complexity of man, the universal constants," think gravity, law of thermodynamics, all that sort of, "the universal constants permit the existence of space-time and the coalescence of matter, then stars and planets. Certain unlikely chemical facts are absolutely necessary in order for life to exist. Certain incredible leaps seem designed to lead life on Earth ever onward to greater awareness and knowledge, culminating in man." Are you still with me? "If the very emergence of order seems to exhibit ends or purposes or designs, we may hypothesize a designer. It was only time, study, and I hope humble reflection that finally brought me to something like an Orthodox Christian faith. I certainly did," he says, "I certainly did eventually come to better appreciate my own sinfulness and why one of our deepest obligations is to be thankful to God for adopting me into his family and forgiving my many sins. I thank God for what share of insight his word and his faithful servants have given me as I've studied them. I thank him for the gift of faith, that for most of my life, I never imagined I would have. By the way, by faith, I do not mean that I believe absurdities against reason. Rather, what I accept on, I think, quite rational grounds is the full body of Christian doctrine as taught in the Bible. But my faith is in God, which is to say, I am loyal to him and to his Son and his Holy Spirit, who are one. He had to think his way, didn't he? He had to think his way. He thought his way so hard, I can hardly think those thoughts after him, can I? But he thought. And God revealed himself to him. Jesus seeks and saves the lost. He is seeking and saving the lost right now. He is seeking and saving the lost right here in this room. I once was blind, but now I see. Do you see? Jesus is pursuing you just as much as he pursued Larry Sanger. Jesus is pursuing you just as much as he sought and found the man born blind after he was healed and expelled. Jesus seeks you with every bit as much passion and desire that he may find you, reveal himself to you, and bring you home to the eternal life that he won by his life and death and resurrection on the cross that we are about to celebrate in these next few weeks. He seeks you. I want to pray for you and invite you to open your heart to Jesus before we turn to the table of communion, before we open our mouths and receive his body and blood. I want to invite you to pray. You don't have to repeat after me, but make this prayer your own. Open your heart to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I am blind. Open my eyes. I am deaf. Open my ears. I am in exile. Bring me home. I hear your voice asking, just like you asked that man so long ago, do you believe? Before I taste the bread of communion today, Jesus, I want to say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. Save me and I will be saved. Turn me and I will be turned. Carry me home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer like that is the beginning of new life in Christ. And if you've prayed that, if you prayed that just now in a way that felt like an open door, something different, would you please speak with us? Please speak to a pastor or a prayer team member after the service. Let us know what God is doing in your life. We're hosting a baptism service on April 27th at the end of this series at 1 p.m. Maybe it's time for you to come to the waters of baptism, to begin a new life of faith. If God is at work in your life in a new way, if you're reaffirming your faith, tell someone about it. There is new life right here in Jesus. Alleluia. Amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.